Okay, great. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to our SVB Leerink Healthcare Conference. I'm Puneet Souda. I cover life science tools and diagnostics here, and it's my pleasure to be hosting PacBio, Team PacBio, Christian Henry joining us from PacBio today. Christian, welcome to our conference.
Yeah, thank you very much. And I'd like to thank SVB Leerink for the opportunity to present in front of you today. We have some slides that we'll run through, and then we'll have plenty of time for some Q&A. So we'll just get into it. But before we get started, I want to remind everyone of our safe harbor statement. We will potentially be making forward-looking statements today, and so I would encourage you to review our SEC filings. This presentation's intended to be protected under the Securities Act, and so would like to make sure that you take a look at that. All right. So the mission of PacBio is to enable the promise of genomics to better human health. And the way we do this is we create some of the world's advanced sequencing technologies. We are the only company today that has both leading long-read and highly accurate short-read sequencing technologies. In fact, we have three differentiated core technologies that focus on accuracy, quality, and completeness. Our HiFi sequencing capability, which is our long-read sequencing capability, our Nanobind technology, which is DNA extraction, as well as sequencing by binding, or SBB. Today, the company has over 50 products spanning the entire genomics workflow, and we are very focused on developing solutions for our customers that across the entire workflow, from sample preparation, library preparation, sequencing, and then ultimately informatics. In 2021, we had a significant growth in employees, and today we have over 700 employees around the world, and we address a market that's over $40 billion in total addressable opportunity. We are known for having the most accurate and complete technology on the market, and our HiFi technology is recognized by several leading publications in 2021 as the most accurate and complete. Specifically, the Association of Biomolecular Resource Facilities put out a paper and did a comparison and basically said that PacBio provides the lowest error rate out of all of the sequencing technologies. And if I can turn your attention to the middle of the screen, the Precision FDA Group does their truth studies, and what they showed in 2021 was that PacBio had 6.3-fold fewer errors than our short-read competitor and 21-fold fewer errors than our long-read competitor. We're really proud of this because we do think accuracy matters, because it gives the biologist and technologist more power to resolve the biology. And finally, if you look to the right of the screen, in 2021, the Telomere to Telomere Consortium announced that they completed their first full sequence of a human genome. Quite frankly, this wasn't possible without HiFi sequencing technology, as that last 8% of the genome was impossible to reach with short-read technologies and approaches. And our advances in HiFi sequencing and the accuracy and completeness around that enabled that group to finally complete the first full sequence of the human genome. DNA sequencing, or sequencing today, is a multi-billion dollar opportunity across a diverse set of markets. We estimate that the actual market today is around $5.8 billion, and it's in several different market verticals. PacBio is very quickly growing in human genomics, and human germline biology was our fastest-growing segment in 2021, and we expect that to continue into the next several years as you see more and more clinical applications want to leverage the power of our HiFi sequencing. Historically, the company has had a very strong business in plant and animal and microbial genomics, and this is growing as well. And we're very focused. And the reason why these markets are so important to us is because our technology enables them to look at very complicated genomes, to look at de novo genomes in ways other technologies can't. And so we're an important part of that side of the market. And finally, one of the biggest markets in sequencing is oncology. And in oncology, our recent acquisition of Omniome gives us a short-read sequencing technology that we believe will be profoundly important in the world of oncology and give us a significant revenue opportunity into the future. Our commercial focus was one of the key areas of 2021, and this is really what drove our breakout performance in 2021. We had a record year for the company. We did $130.5 million in revenue, which represented growth of 65%. We had 84% growth in our install base of the Sequel II and IIe platform with 171 systems. That brought our total install base to 374 systems around the world. And we actually ended the year with $1 billion in cash, which gives us the capital required to grow our business and get to break even. In 2022, we recently announced our guidance for 2022, and that's a growth rate of 23 to 30% or $160 to $170 million over the 130.5 in 2021. So we expect to have nice and healthy growth in 2022. In order to drive that growth, we have three key priorities, focusing on our execution, leveraging our commercial investments and driving the continued adoption of HiFi and the Sequel IIe, progressing our product development pipeline, demonstrating that sequencing by binding chemistry and short read in our short read side of the business is a highly differentiated offering, and also driving our future HiFi platform development. So we have a lot of activity going on in product development. And finally, we continue to focus on our customers because they're at the center of everything we do. We're trying to deepen our customer collaborations. In 2021, we announced several groundbreaking collaborations with leading institutions around the world in rare and undiagnosed disease to demonstrate the power of HiFi sequencing. Our intent in 2022 is to continue focusing on building on those collaborations and those successes to drive further proof that long-read sequencing using HiFi technology is the way to go. And ultimately, genome sequence with HiFi technology will be considered the gold standard medical genome in the future. But first, we're going to start the year by launching new products and improving the power of the Sequel IIe platform. And I'm pleased to talk about two specific areas of product improvement, both of which will launch in April of this year. The first is new sequencing kits and sample preparation kits, as you see on the left-hand side of the screen. These new kits will enable a user to use 40% less DNA on each per sample. They'll reduce hands-on time by 60% or more, and will require fewer tubes than ever before. And this is actually a really important component as we are trying to simplify the workflow for our customers so that they can get more samples through the sequencing process in a shorter amount of time and focus on developing the biological insight that's been derived from the sequencing process. We're also, if you look on the right-hand side of the screen, launching several software enhancements. And the first and most important, in my opinion, is our ability to call 5-methyl-C on the sequencer with every single instrument. And so every single instrument, every single run, with no additional workflow changes, no additional cost. This is critical because methylation and epigenetic analysis is becoming a really important driver in oncology research. And having the ability to call methylation as well as all of the variants, all the structural variation, all within the same sequencing assay, just further demonstrates the power of our long-read sequencing capability to deliver the most accurate and the most complete information on the market today. And so we're really excited about that. The early response from customers has been tremendous as well. We also are implementing a new gene editing QC workflow, improving the positioning for high throughput. And so at the end of the day, we're trying to build an ecosystem around the enablement of more samples getting onto the sequencers, more reads, and ultimately more data. And so we have entered into partnerships with Twist Bioscience, the Broad, Google Health, we're working with all these groups to improve the capability of our long-read sequencing platform and building out the ecosystem to make it more powerful and more useful for all of our customers. We also are focusing on continuing our collaborations, and I'd like to just spend a second on one of them with Genomics England. We're entered into a pilot study with them. They have sequenced 100,000 genomes using short reads. And then a subset of those, they are rare disease samples. And of that, 75%, they're unable to explain the rare disease case with the use of short read sequencing. Our pilot program is focused on a subset of those samples to show and demonstrate how HiFi sequencing can improve our understanding of those specific cases and help families get some understanding with respect to the disease. We also announced recently a partnership with Berry Genomics to develop a new desktop system. And this will be a system that Berry will take through the Chinese FDA processes and ultimately launch in China. We will have the ability to launch the system globally. And they've, as part of this program, they've committed to purchasing over 50 instruments at launch. And so we're very excited about this because it will also leverage existing technology that we're developing for other larger, higher throughput scale products. We talked about short read sequencing a little bit, and it is a multi-billion dollar opportunity for the company. And the reason why it is because our technology is more accurate and allows us to create an incredible opportunity in the oncology space. And so we're really excited about having both long read technology and short read technology because it gives us the ability to serve our customers with a solution as opposed to just the technology and will enable us to capture market opportunities as new applications emerge, whether that's short read or long read. And so with that, I just want to say thank you for listening. Thank you to the SVP Lyric team. Thank you to our team. And just remind you, we do create some of the world's most advanced sequencing technologies. Thanks.
All right. This is great, Christian. Excellent presentation. Maybe at a high level question, you joined about a year and a half ago and you've led the transformation, really revamped the organization, the commercial organization, Sequel IIe installation numbers that we just saw and that you guys reported as in the quarter, really all great to see. Maybe just, given the transformation that's happening at PacBio, in that timeline, where do we stand in that timeline and what remains the priority, throughout 2022 in your list for transformation?
Yeah, sure. It's a great question. Thank you for it. I think of 2022 as really three key areas of focus. We substantially built our commercial organization in 21. So 22 is all about optimizing it, adding new players where we still need to fill in some gaps and really positioning the company for future growth and growth in 22, such that as we launch new platforms, like our new platform that's coming with Omniome, we can rapidly launch and go global with those platforms, because I think it gives us a competitive advantage over emerging sequencing players because they don't have that kind of infrastructure and they won't be able to expand and be global on day one. It also gives us advantages over the incumbent, or allows us to compete with larger players in the market as we've created the commercial scale. So the first thing is optimizing our commercial organization, improving the productivity and growing that way. The second, and perhaps more important, is getting, we have several major platform programs that are in development, and they're in the key phases of development at this point. And so making sure that we're laser focused on execution of driving those product development programs forward so we can get those products to market. It starts with the enhancements to the Sequel II system that we've discussed and committed to launching in April of this year, but it goes much deeper than that. We have programs focused on short read sequencing, not only building the sequencer, but building the ecosystem around the sequencer and long read sequencing, fundamentally driving the throughput and up and performance up of a sequencing capability and the related cost down significantly so that we can get below that $1,000 per genome metric that everyone kind of holds as kind of a gold standard. And then finally, the third piece is continuing to show why HiFi sequencing with long reads will become the gold standard in terms of medical genomics, because it'll be it is the most complete, the most accurate genome. It gives you the methylation now. It gives you all of the structural variation, does very good job at calling all the variants. And so continuing to collaborate with leaders around the world in demonstrating how powerful it is. So those are the three core attributes of 2022 that, you know, when we look back at the end of the year, I'm going to hope that we have made significant progress on.
Got it. I had a couple of questions, but on your point of oncology, just wanted to make sure today, given where how routine therapy management tests are being done or how MRD tests are being done, can you maybe talk to us? You obviously have the accuracy, but sort of when we think about the turnaround time, when you think about the scaling of the samples, you know, sort of give us, you know, what the customers can do today and maybe potentially what they can do in the future.
Sure. So I do think, of course, the entire workflow end-to-end is critical in a clinical setting, because most of those folks are running businesses. And so they're concerned about the, you know, not just the performance of the assay, but the economics around it as well. The first system we'll launch using the Omniome technology will be kind of a mid throughput level system. And so that will be a system where I expect most of these customers do their proof of their proof studies and their analysis. And meanwhile, we're developing a high throughput system, a highly scaled system that will give those high throughput customers opportunities to operate, you know, in a commercially focused setting, so to speak, with price points, turnaround times, and in the same sorts of ranges as what's out there today, or even what we see coming in the near term. And I think that's really important. So you'll see us building out an entire short read portfolio of sequencers, mm-hmm. starting with the mid throughput, so that we can start to build a beachhead in with these important accounts, and so that basic researchers and others can see the benefits of the high accuracy of the system at a competitive cost. And then not that far out in the future, launching high throughput systems that enable you to be, very competitive with those out in the market in leveraging that core accuracy. I know some of the competitors in the market are talking about creating new and more accurate chemistries than what they have today. But even based on the specs that we've seen, we're going to be, you know, fivefold or better, more accurate. And that accuracy does matter. It matters a lot. And it'll, you know, today, lots of times customers try to overcome the deficiencies in existing technologies by, various tricks like using UMIs or other kinds of things. When we launch our products, they won't need to do that. And so they'll be able to save money and time off of that. They'll be able to sequence less to get to the same answer because the system's so much accurate, which will make it even more cost competitive. Or they'll be able to sequence deeper and get to answers that they could never get to before. And so basically what we're trying to do is put much more flexibility into our customers' hands and give them the power to decide how to leverage it versus what they have today. And then over time, continue to drive the throughput and the capability of the system up so you can operate at absolute commercial scale and compete against anyone in the market. It's not, you know, this is an important area for us to grow. I do think if we can capture small pieces of market share, it's substantial to us in terms of how we grow as a business.
Very helpful. For folks listening in on the line, if you want to submit a question through the chat, I can we can address it on the call here. Forgot to mention that earlier. But maybe a question coming out of the quarter. You pointed out slightly lower utilization here in first quarter, though you sounded really confident for the full year. So, you know, was that softness more, you know, geographically focused? It seemed like it was more, you know, seemed like an academic phenomena, but I mean, you gave some data points around the first 6 weeks that drove you to be a little bit more conservative here. So maybe just walk us through that. What's really happening there?
Yeah, sure. So so our commentary was focused principally around our consumable utilization. And one of the unique things about PacBio and our instruments is that with the vast majority of the customers, our instruments are connected to our network so that we can see how many runs are happening, and that can help us understand the utilization. And we did see a change from December to January in terms of utilization. And so we dug into it more deeply, and it does seem that COVID is actually having a real impact on people running their systems. And so if you dig into each region, the analysis is slightly different. In the United States, we are very sensitized to the academic market because that's where the predominant portion of our business comes. And what we're seeing in the first 6 weeks is that, you know, they have much more flexibility, and they're working. Many of them are working from home because of COVID and not running their sequencers as much. I'm not just saying that they don't have a sense of urgency, but relative to a commercial company such that's running in a diagnostic setting, they have much more flexibility about how and when they run. And so we've seen some weakness there. If you look in Asia Pacific, you know, COVID still continues to be a pretty significant overhang in terms of the ability for customers to move around, to start new projects. You know, China is a disproportionately large part of our business today, and you know, lockdowns in China as well as the Olympics have had some impact on that as far as in conversations with our customers. And then in Europe, it is a bit of managing the Omicron surge and seeing people get back to work. So we've seen little differences in each of the regions. It has been a global phenomenon. My expectation, though, is that as this Omicron wave starts to subside, you'll start to see this return to more normalized activity. But we thought it was important, you know, given the fact that our earnings call is kind of in the middle of the quarter, we could see what's going on with the early part of the quarter and, you know, share that commentary. So that's how we decided to do it.
Got it. I see. A couple of more questions on the business, but maybe one that is we've been getting more frequently, and I'm sure you've been getting frequently since a competitor had announced, their synthetic read potential solution that they want to launch on the market. Wondering if you have more clarity or thoughts on that, and how do you stack sort of synthetic long read of Infinity versus the native PacBio, you know, HiFi sequencing?
Well, I think the key words are synthetic, that they're the technology that you're in question here, this Infinity capability is not a replacement for native long reads. The read lengths are a lot shorter. The ability to call methylation and all structural variation is not there. And the ability for, you know, it'll be interesting to see how useful the technology is in very long stretches of repeats and tandem repeats, difficult to sequence regions. Yes, the reads are longer than short reads, but they're nowhere near long reads. In fact, one of the long read players, you know, I believe said recently, we don't consider 10 kb reads to be long reads. And perhaps they're right. And so, from my perspective, there are some very significant deficiencies with the stitched together short reads relative to native long reads. And in our, you know, of course, we've had extensive conversations with customers now over the past 4 weeks as this, you know, this new announcement has emerged. And it's clearly evident that folks that are really committed to long read sequencing are not looking at this as a substitute for long read sequencing. Folks that don't have any, that aren't doing any long read sequencing may see this as an opportunity to dabble and start to work on some projects. But the utility of a synthetic long read or a stitched together short read, as I like to call it, is much lower than what you see with our technology. And so in the markets that we're going after, you know, clinical genomics, germline focused disease research, it's very unlikely that this technology will have a significant impact. And in fact, for those that dabble that have short read sequencing capability today, perhaps it expands the market for us because as they see long reads becoming more useful and we have new platforms coming to market, it creates a great opportunity for us to buy and then, or for the customer to buy and for us to sell. And of course, the last thing I'll say, it's highly, highly likely that this, that their technology is going to in fact be more expensive per sample than our technology as we launch new systems into the market. So if you want to pay more to get less, perhaps that's a reasonable way for folks to go. But I suspect that most customers will be pretty excited about our offering and the completeness and the capability that we believe we can deliver.
No, got it. I appreciate the comments on the being native long read. That's truly the differentiation there. On the funnel, and you mentioned, you know, strong funnel in the quarter that you saw in the quarter. Wondering how are you thinking about, you know, sort of supply chain on the one side versus this a strong funnel? And I know not all of the funnel turns into order book, but you started to give some metrics instrument turns last night. And maybe just talk about that. And instrument turn was reaching 90% in the fourth quarter. So how do you balance this, the supply chain dynamic with a strong funnel and potentially a strong instrument turn?
Yeah, so starting with, you know, starting with the supply chain, you know, we obviously, we have a forecast and we forecast out several quarters to engage the supply chain. And we've been very, our team has been very successful at making sure we had enough supply to build instrumentation, to make the smart cells and the consumables that we use, you know, every day. And so we haven't had any supply shortages. That said, supply chain is becoming more expensive, and we think it might impact us up to 2% or 2 points of gross margin in 2022 because of that. We're fortunate that we have a strong balance sheet that allows us to you know, mitigate the risk by buying inventory earlier than we otherwise would. But we think that's a great trade-off because we have product for our customers as we grow. If you move to the funnel side, you know, I want to make sure everyone understands what we're doing. The sales funnel are the opportunities. Then we get orders. And then once those orders are, then we ship them and we turn them into revenue. And what I was referring to is, you know, lots of folks have been asking me about why you've added so much commercial organization. Are you really getting your money's worth from the commercial organization? And what I tried to show on the call last night was the fact that early last year, we could only turn a small amount of opportunities in the quarter because we just didn't have the sales force or the capability. And by the end of the year, we were able to turn not over 90% of the orders or around 90% of the orders that actually turned into revenue in the quarter in that same quarter. That's really powerful because it means that even if you don't have a lot of backlog to begin with, if you have a nice sale, a nice funnel, you can execute. Now, do you get every deal you want? Perhaps, probably not. But does it give you the opportunity to kind of put your best foot forward every single quarter? It absolutely does. And I think that was the point I was trying to make, is that having a larger commercial organization gives us the opportunity to have a you know, more horsepower in the engine, so to speak, so that we could push the business forward. And I was quite pleased at how we executed in the fourth quarter. Looking into the future, of course, as you get to new products, you probably end up getting more orders than you can ship in a single quarter because of the supply chain and also for strategic reasons. You don't want to have such a large support organization that you're carrying that and then they run into air pockets of activity. And so, you know, having backlog is a good thing, no question about it. But being able to execute within quarter, you know, I think is the hallmark of a good sales team. And we're starting to learn and build and grow. And I think we'll get better in 22.
That's great. Christian, that's all the time we have. Wonderful to have you at our conference. Thanks again for joining and exciting to learn all the things PacBio is working on.
Thank you again. Very much, Puneet. You guys take care. Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.